Jerry. So looking forward to the Lord bless you, Jerry.
Found out this morning that when the pastor calls the men forward, you better. There we go. How's that? Is this a church that's excited about Jesus?
Yes.
Ron, I don't think we turned it on yet. Is this a church that's excited about Jesus?
Yes.
All right. That's a whole lot better. Just because it's a little dreary outside doesn't mean it's got to be dreary inside, right? And actually, it looks a little bit brighter out there right now. The Lord's going to bless us today. You know, the Gideons, we tend to get a little excited also. You know, Brother Ron shared with you about giving testaments away over here at Mansfield University. And you know, that's you can't describe the feeling you get when you stand there and continually hand out Bibles like that to young people, and especially if you get the opportunity to talk to them. You know, I would venture a guess that most of the students probably said thank you. You know, we sort of have sometimes a bad version of our students today, but it's not been my experience when I'm out at a college or a school handing out Bibles. The kids are very, very polite usually, and they will say thank you. Just recently, we were down at Penn State. And the people down there, it's a little bit different than Mansfield. When I always sort of describe it, it's sort of like, did you ever go out when you were a kid and stomp an anthill, and they're just flying all over the place? Well, that's sort of the way Penn State is down there. But we get the permission of the college, but they tell us we can't get on the campus other than up at the library. So we surround the whole campus. And as the students come by and other people that want one, we give them Bibles. This year we passed out almost 8,000. The Center County camp will be going back a couple more times, and they will probably give out a couple thousand more each time. So they'll end up the year with somewhere between 11,000 and 12,000 scriptures that they've given out at Penn State University. What a blessing that is. You know, and down at Bloomsburg Fair, some of you probably travel down to Bloomsburg Fair, and you probably see the Gideons down there handing out Bibles. They've done it for years down there. Usually somewhere between 5,000 and 8,000 they will give away. Last year the number was in the sixes. I haven't heard the number for this year yet, but what a blessing it is to be able to stand there, you know, and share God's word with somebody. So it gives us reason to be excited. We gave out over 85 million of these last year. It's tremendous, and that's worldwide. And people want to say, well, how'd we do in the United States? We're probably number one in the United States, aren't we? We're about third. In fact, I think this year we might have been fourth. You know who's taking the most Bibles right now? India. India is taking more Bibles than what we can deliver to them. They are going to pass out somewhere between 13 and 14 million scriptures this year in the country of India. They would like to have about 5-6 million more. We can't get them there to them. The Gideons right now, we're in over 200 countries. We have camps established in over 200 countries. You know, we are... You might say about everywhere, but if you look at a map as to where we aren't, there's a big hole in the Middle East. Of course, we study Scripture. We understand why that big hole is in the Middle East, and we see what's going on in the world today. We also understand why there's a big hole in the Middle East. There's also a big hole in China, but there's good news coming out of China. For about the last 4 years now, we've been working with the local churches in China and working with the Chinese government, because over in China, if you are a Christian and you are operating a church like this, everything that goes on in that church has to be government approved. So the Gideons are not allowed to establish a camp like Ron and I belong to, like Tioga County Camp. We're not allowed to establish one over there. But they are letting us work with some of the churches. When we hand a Bible out over there, it has a stamp in it. Any religious material has to have a stamp in that it was government approved. So we're making some inroads in China through the churches. Right now, I think we've given out somewhere around 5 million Bibles in China. And, you know, it's the door is getting open a little bit more every year. That door is getting a little bit more open. So keep that in your prayer. As I said, the Gideons are everywhere. And you know what? This morning we're here at Draper Baptist, and it's just a joy for my wife and I to be here with you this morning. So thank you very much for inviting us, for having us in. Pastor said it. He said you can talk as long as you want. He said it doesn't matter. He said nobody really has too much of lunch plans today, and I'm going to get you in trouble, Pastor. But one of the important things that happens sometimes when you're on a distribution, over at State College the other week, you see all of these kids coming, and you're handing out Bibles right and left. And they're eventually going to take one, because I'll tell you what, they're going to walk by about four or five Gideons, so they'll eventually take one just to get rid of you. But you know, when they walk away from you, so many of them have already opened it up, and they're already starting to read. You know, and what happens when you open God's Word? It speaks to you, doesn't it? Speaks to you. An older lady come down the street, and she stopped at a couple of the Gideons, and she said, "Leave these kids alone." They didn't. They kept handing out Bibles. And they offered her one, and she wouldn't take it. But sometimes it's somebody from outside that actually thinks that they want to come in and hurt your distribution. Last spring in April, we have our state convention every year, usually around mid-April. This past year, we had it in downtown Harrisburg, right down in the middle. There's a big Hilton down there. It'll be the last time we will be at that hotel, because Hilton, a lot of the Hiltons are taking the Bibles out. So we will not be patronizing the Hiltons probably too much anymore. A hotel chain that at one time, the Bible had to be on their checklist, or that room was not approved, finished. It was on the maid's checklist. There had to be a Bible in that room. Now they have changed it, and they have said to their managers, you know, it's up to you. Well, apparently we've got a lot of bad managers, because a lot of the managers are telling us to come get our Bibles. They also own the Hamptons, and we're having the same issue with the Hamptons. Come get your Bibles. So I'm going to encourage you this morning that if you're staying at a motel that doesn't have a Bible, ask them at the desk if they have one that you can read, because some of them will keep a few Bibles at the front desk. But if they don't have one, or if they do have one, just thank them for having the Gideon Bibles in their hotels and motels. You know, thank them for it. But I'm down there. It was on Thursday. We were having what we call an open air witnessing. We were just going out on the sidewalks there in Harrisburg, and we were on Second Street. Well, I was on Second Street. And if you know anything at all about Harrisburg, Second Street might be the busiest street in Harrisburg. that's all one way, and they're just zoom, 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 continually. So I was standing a couple blocks down from the hotel, and I had taken up residence in front of a tobacco and newspaper store. And I had asked the proprietor first. I said, "Do you mind if I stand out here and hand out tracts and Bibles?" She said, "No." She said, "That's fine." And I offered her one, and she took it. And then she started to tell me about what church she went to and things. And I thought, well, I wish she wouldn't sell cigarettes. But anyway, I'm standing in front of the store, and I'm was handing out more tracts than I was Bibles because people were zipping by, and I like to, if I give them a Bible, I like to talk to them a little bit, share Jesus with them a little bit, and share the plan of salvation in the back. And in the front of our Bible, we have a series of helps up there that gives you, just like if you're afraid, there's a bunch of verses there for that to look up. I mean, it's right there for you. You don't have to kind of root through the Bible and try to find it. It's right there for you. So I like to talk to people. So this, I'm standing there, and this white van comes down the street. The light, I'm standing right before you get to the traffic light. It's green. Traffic's just zooming by. This guy jams on the brakes. "Do you have a Bible?" I said, "Yes, sir, I do. Can I have it?" I run over, throw it in the window to him. He says, "Thank you," and he took off. I don't know why that man needed a Bible. I don't know how he really knew I had Bibles, because what I had in my hand was tracts. I had my pockets full of Bibles. But I don't know if he recognized I was a Gideon, but I don't know how. He was too far away to see the little emblem. But anyway, he wanted a Bible, so I gave him one. You know, and then prayed for whatever he needed that Bible for. He no sooner left, and I'm still handing out tracts to people. And this lady come down the street, and she had a great big fancy hat on, and she was dressed up pretty nice. And we started to talk. And she said, "You know, God only built heaven big enough for 144,000 people. The rest of us are going to stay here." Now, I think most of you know who I was talking to. And Pastor, you'd have just loved that. But I just never quite heard it put that way before, that God built heaven too small for us. But that 144,000, when somebody starts throwing that out at you, you know what church they're coming from. So we talked for a little while. And she says, "I got to go. I'm late for an appointment." She says, "I'll be back." She said, "How long are you going to be here?" I said, "Probably till about 2 o'clock. "Oh, I'll be back," she said. Never saw her. Haven't seen her to this day. I don't think she really wanted to come back and talk anymore. But she no sooner left, so this young man come down the street, probably 30 years old, and I handed him a tract. And he looked at me, and great big smile on his face, and he said, "Thank you, thank you." He walked down from me about 20 feet, and he leaned up against the wall, and he starts reading this tract. And there was nobody coming, and I was standing there watching him a little bit. So I start walking towards him, and he saw I was walking towards him. He come walking back towards me, and he said, "Man," he said, "this is great." He said, "I love this." He said, "This is great." So we started to talk a little bit, and I was able to share Jesus with him, and I gave him a testament. He said, "I was saved once," but he said, "I guess I have to get saved again." I said, "I'm not quite following you." He said, "Well, I was baptized one time when I was a baby." But he said, "I guess I need to go get baptized again to get saved again." Well, we had another little discussion, and I was trying to straighten him out a little bit on that one. But he just wouldn't quite commit to the prayer, you know, to saying the sinner's prayer. But he told me, he said, "I want to go talk to my pastor." I said, "What church do you go to?" "Well," he said, "I just started going to one here a couple weeks ago." He said, "He didn't tell me anything like what you just told me." I said, "Maybe you better find another pastor." But we talked a little bit more, And he assured me that he would accept Jesus. I don't know whether he did or not. You know, only the Lord knows. But you never know what you're going to get into when you go out there and you're handing out Bibles or handing out tracts. And I was telling Pastor, and I gave him some. We have a tremendous new tool. It's a Gideon Bible app. All this is a little card with instructions on to tell you how to put this free app on your smartphone or your tablet. It's about the only two things I know of it'll go on. You either have a smartphone or a tablet. It goes on relatively easily. We had a few bugs with it when they first come out with it, but I think they've got that pretty well ironed out now. Let me tell you what's on here. There are 1,234 languages on here that the Bible is in. Amazing. When you download this onto your device, you can listen to that Bible in... We can't listen to it in all of them. There are languages you can actually set it up to listen to it. And thankfully, English is one of them. You really don't have to read it if you don't want to. You can set it there and just listen to it. Now, if you're like me, I get distracted, so I got to be reading. I can't do the listening thing. But a lot of people can, and they're used to the audio books and things. And they can set their phone up to just read the scripture to them. The helps are on here, just like in our regular scripture. The plan of salvation's in here. And there's different other things that are on this app. And it's turned into a tremendous tool, especially with young people. Because what do they all have? They don't just have a flip phone. Like, I'm sure there might be a couple flip phones sticking around in here. But they got, you know, the big fancy ones. The one dad and mom paid $600-$700 for. You know, and they carry it around in their hip pocket when they're not like this. It's amazing how they can walk and do that at the same time, isn't it? You ever wonder if they're talking to each other when you see three or four of them all back and forth? But it's amazing what you can do with this little card. And somebody that's really good with their smartphone, they can put it on their phone before you get done telling them about what's on the card. It goes on that simple. The scripture I wanted to share with you a little bit this morning comes from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 20. And Pastor could probably tell you there's a sermon in about every one of these verses. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Ladies, I'm gonna ask you a question this morning. How many of you have husbands that hunt? All right, there's a few of you have. How many of you think that your husbands have too much junk to take hunting with them? Some people have a sporting goods store in their house. They don't just have one thing. We're coming in to the time of year where guys get out there in the woods with their bows and their grunt calls. One grunt call doesn't work. You got to have at least four or five. You got to have rattling horns. You got to have all this stuff. And then you got to get a great big backpack to put it in to take to the woods. And you know what? I've heard of fellows taking all this stuff to the woods and leaving their gun at home, left ammunition at home. The important stuff. You know, and God says here, he says, we're to put on the whole armor of God. You know, when we just took as much care when we did things like going hunting or ladies, I'm not going to let Jones off, like if you're going shopping or something. You know, if we just put on the whole armor of God, he tells us how to put it on, why to put it on. You know, and I mean, you look at verse 17 is the one that I think pertains to me. It says, and take the helmet, they all pertain to me, but I like this one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So when we go someplace, we're to take the Word of God. Now, it doesn't say it has to be a Bible. You can always carry tracts with you. Tracts are a tremendous tool. It's this little card. And even just telling somebody about God. Sharing Jesus with them. It's however you can do it. But don't go home, don't leave home without being able to share Jesus with somebody. You say, well, I don't run into that many people. Well, if you run into one, that's enough. You know, I went to speak in a church a few years ago, and when I left that morning, I asked the Lord to show me somebody to share a scripture with that day. So I went and I spoke at the church that morning. I stopped on the way home at a gas station. Now, this church was about 70 miles from where I lived, and I stopped at a gas station on the way home. A popular gas station, a lot of pumps in there. And a fellow pulled in beside me, and he's getting gas. And I'm thinking, well, maybe this is a guy I'm supposed to share a testament with. But I had no feeling whatsoever that I was to share a testament with this gentleman. I get home. I get off 322, come off the Port Row exit where we live there in Juniata County. I come off the Port Row exit, and there's set a broke-down car. And, you know, it was almost like the Lord had got a hold of my steering wheel. This is where you're giving the Bibles out. And I actually drove by them, and I had to make a U-turn and come back. And I got out, and I had two testaments in my pocket. And I got out and walked up to the car, and there was two young men standing there. We talked a little bit, and I got my testaments out, and I started to share Jesus with them. And here about that time, a young lady crawled out of the back and got out. And I thought, oh, man, here I am, two Bibles and three people. And if you would have asked me to make a bet, I would have bet I did not have that third Bible with me. But yet, when I reached in my pocket, I had a third Bible. God put it there, and I'm too stupid to count, apparently. But that Bible was in my pocket, and I shared one with all of them then. You know, and you could, sometimes you start sharing with people, you're uneasy a little bit because you don't know how they're going to react, but you know what? They're uneasy too a lot of times. And I can see these three young people were a little uneasy. And I'm telling you, when that tow truck pulled up there and backed in, they left me like I had the plague or something. But they got God's word. You know, and I just couldn't get over it to this day how hard God pulled on me that morning to give those people a Bible. You know, thankfully I was armed. But when we go out, we need to be armed for Jesus. You know, I was in a church a few years ago, and when you went out the back door, there was a big sign over the back door that said, "You are now entering the mission field." What a great sign. I've seen it in two more churches now in recent years. But what a great sign to have above your door. You're now entering a mission field. Because when you go out this door today, when you go out your door at the house tomorrow morning or today or whenever, you're entering a mission field, aren't you? And better yet, sometimes the mission field knocks on your door and comes in. You know, our ladies, a lot of them, they have a Bible like this. This is a Bible that we as Gideons purchase ourselves and we hand these out. But the ladies also are auxiliary. They also have a personal worker's testament that they hand out. And theirs is, I like to call it light blue. They call it periwinkle. It's about the shade of our brother's shirt back there. It's kind of blue. But they call it periwinkle. But some of the ladies have taken and they put some of these Bibles in a basket and they set it right by the door. When somebody comes to visit them or tries to sell them something, they have a Bible right there that they can share with them. So if you don't have a Bible, you can keep some tracts by the door. So it's just a good idea. You have a card display back there in the back of the church on that big table. And I don't know how many of you use the card display. I hope that many of you do. Because we really count on you to use these cards. The cards are free. You don't have to pay for the cards at all. They're free. But we would like you to donate at least one Bible. And I have a bunch of old motel Bibles and hotel Bibles. In fact, a couple of them we are still placing back there in that table. One of those Bibles cost us $5. And that's what we use the cards for. So when you contribute, this is the praying for you card. And who couldn't use a praying for you card? This is Pastor's Appreciation Month. I hope Pastor just gets 20, 30 cards from all of you this month, and they're all Gideon cards. You know, remember your pastors. Remember your friends that need prayer. Remember those families that have lost loved ones. There's some memory cards back there. So instead of sending flowers, which I like flowers, I've always liked flowers, but in memory of somebody anymore, I send a card. And I will donate usually four or five Bibles in that card. And people say, "Man, we really liked that. That was a good idea. We never saw that before." I was in a church a few weeks ago, and a gentleman that was the worship leader that morning and the adult Sunday school teacher, and he's also a deacon of the church, he said, "I was impressed when you were talking about the cards." He said, "Where can you get them?" I said, "Right back there in your table." I said, "Right beside where the bulletins are laying." Gentleman never took notice to the card display sitting there. And folks, if you picked up a bulletin this morning, you picked one up right beside the card display. Good place to put them, Pastor. But these cards are just, they're a tremendous tool for us. You know, and people are so blessed by them. So I hope that you use them. Some of that money that goes to these cards goes for buying scriptures all over the world. But there's a good percentage of it comes right back here to Tioga County for your camp. To be able to take Bibles to schools like Mansfield. Put Bibles in motels like the ones up in Wellsboro and scattered around here in the county. So I trust that if you are using the cards, you'll continue to use them. And I thank you for using them. You know, a couple years ago, we gave out our 2 billionth scripture. I hope you had a celebration here that Sunday. Ron, did you have a celebration? 2 billion. You know, it took us almost 90 years, or I guess it took us actually over 90 years, to give out the first billion. It took us almost 14 to give out the second billion. And at the pace we're on right now, it's going to be about 11 or 12 years till we give out the third billion. We've picked the pace up a little bit. You know, one of the things that I like to ask when I'm here at a church like this today is, we are always looking for more Gideons. We're looking for more auxiliary. But to be a member of the auxiliary, you have to be married to a Gideon. I'm sorry, because I get that question all the time. Can I join the Gideons and be a member of the auxiliary, even though I don't have a husband? And nope, it is a husband-wife team that we are after. But if there's anybody here this morning, we have a few qualifications. But if there's anybody here this morning who would like to talk to me about joining the Gideons, I'd be certainly glad to, or I'm sure Brother Ron would be glad to speak with you about joining the Gideons. I had those old motel Bibles back there, and there's a black one back there on the right. We were up at Erie about 5-6 years ago, and we were replacing Bibles in motel rooms and giving them out at the schools and colleges and stuff. And they come back and they had about 16 of those old black ones. And when, if you folks know very much about the Gideons, you know there's a bunch of Gideons that are probably in their 80s. There's some in their 90s. You know, not that many of them is young, 65 like me. But anyway, they come back and they had about 16 of these old black Bibles. And they were all in pretty good shape. There were a few of them that were beat up. Back in the 50s sometime, they went into this mom and pop motel and they put Bibles in there. And the old guy the owner wouldn't let him come in after that. Nope, you're not allowed in here anymore. It was interesting to know that he never took the Bibles out. So they went back here a few years ago when we were up there handing out, and it was under new ownership, and they brought these old Bibles back and put new ones in. Nobody can remember that Bible being passed out or being printed after about 61. So how old it is, I'm not sure, but I know it's older than 1961, and it's in really good shape. It wasn't used all that hard. But, you know, the amazing thing about it was this motel had 18 rooms and there were 16 Bibles still there. We lose a lot more Bibles than that in a nice motel in a year. But, you know, we don't care if you steal them. You know, because we figure if you're taking it, you need it. It's just like he was talking about earlier here about somebody finding a Bible laying over at Mansfield College. You know what? I tell the guys, let them lay. Because that Bible's meant for somebody. We've had so many testimonies come in of people just taking them even out of trash cans at universities or someplace else, and they've come to Christ from that scripture. This Bible here is an old school Gideon Bible. And Pastor and I were talking before church here. I think 1963 is when it got kicked out of school. But you know, it actually can still be in school. You just can't read it out loud. So the Supreme Court will get on you a little bit if you start reading it out loud a little bit, and the ACLU and about 20 other groups probably. But this Bible was kicked out of school. But let me read something to you in it here before I close. And it says, hold fast to the Bible as the sheet anchor of your liberties. To the influence of this book, we are indebted for the progress made in civilization. And to this, we must look as our guide in the future. You might have wrote something like that Sounds pretty philosophical, doesn't it? Ulysses S. Grant. Can you imagine a president in recent years writing something and putting it in, being able to, even allowed to put something that he wrote in our Bibles? There's four of them: Thomas Jefferson, Abraham Lincoln, Ulysses Grant, Woodrow Wilson. All four of them have a comment about the Bible that we had got permission to put in the old school Bibles. It's amazing. Wouldn't you love to see our president today? And I'm not sure we're not too far from it, coming out with a Bible tucked under his arm and say, "We just had a cabinet prayer meeting." Woo. Wouldn't that be something? Man, churches ought to be just shouting for joy if something like that happens. But you know, the fields are white onto the harvest, folks. They are a lot of people out here searching. We've had two young men in our community in the last month and a half committed suicide. Tell me they weren't searching for something. You know, we've got a job to do as Christians. We all, when we accepted Christ, became an evangelist, whether we wanted to be or not. That was part of it. We need to put on that whole armor of God. When we go out that door, you know, we are in the mission field. Thank you for having me this morning. Pastor, thank you for giving up your pulpit to us this morning. Certainly appreciate it. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your financial help. And I just want to let you know for one thing, that when you give financial aid to the Gideons, it's all going for the purchase and distribution of Bibles. Guys like Ron and I, we're strictly volunteers. We don't even get meal money. We do it because this is where God has placed us. You know, it's a calling, just like pastors are calling. And guys, if you're sitting here this morning and you want to know more about the Gideons, I'd really be glad to talk to you. Thank you. That's closing prayer. Heavenly Father, we certainly appreciate the time that we've been able to come here this morning and share a little bit more about the Gideons. But Father, it's more important that we share about you. We're just your tool that you're using. And Father, we just pray for this church. We pray for all those that are here this morning. We just pray as they go out this door today, Lord, that you will instill in them the need to go and tell someone about Jesus. Give us some boldness also that Paul talked about, Lord, to go up and talk to people, because we have a problem with that sometimes. We just are a little bit shy about talking about Jesus with people. But Father, we also pray for Brother Ron this morning. We just pray that you would be with him, watch over him, bless him. Thank you for calling him to this church, to lead this church. And Lord, we just pray that you will give him the wisdom that he needs to continue on. Thank you, dear Lord, again, for all that you've done for us, for so richly blessing us. But Lord, we thank you most of all for sending your son to the cross to shed his blood for each and every one of us. May we put on that whole armor of God when we leave here today, when we leave our house tomorrow, and go out and share Jesus with someone. Thank you. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen.